This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are having a Shake Shack orgy. Wow. It's just a big pile of burgers and fries, man.
Mm-hmm. We're just rolling around.
Ooh.
I've never had more fun.
Tony, how happy are you right now?
I'm so happy.
Off the wagon.
I am off the wagon. I'm not on the diet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the diet for the next 2 days because we're gonna, spend some time, family barbecue thing like that over the weekend. And so Christine was like, "You better not be all weird when we're barbecuing and just eat." And I was like, "You know what? I will. I'll go a couple days, just blow it out,
good
and then
you.
Get back on it."
Whew, all right.
Going into Memorial Day weekend, Huey Lewis really does fit better than Moody Blues.
You think?
I gotta say.
You've learned another radio lesson here, Wig.
You're not going to get any poetry with Huey Lewis, though. Cold, haunted orb that rules the night.
Knights in white satin just didn't work.
Removes the colors from our sight.
This feels like Dave's vibe.
Yeah, it's one thing I know about Dave. He loves the Moody Blues. Rage, got headlines?
I do. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. The big headline at Schnucks this week: join their mission, round up at the register to support Folds of Honor and help send the children of fallen or wounded military heroes to college. Once again, we love to round up. Easiest way to donate ever. And thank you again to Schnucks for bringing us those donuts.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one in front of me right now.
So. On deck.
Harvey Weinstein is bailed out in a $44 million settlement without paying a dime. He's settled with some unnamed victims for $44 million. His insurance is covering the whole thing. $14 million of that will go to the attorneys for the young ladies who prosecuted him.
Good for them.
Yeah, they earned
That's what's really important.
In more Me Too news, Mario Batali pleads not guilty to assault and battery charge in Boston for allegedly groping and kissing a woman. It's funny, whenever he was accused of all of this misconduct, he was like, "Yep, sounds like me. I did that stuff." And now he's kind of walking back and saying, "Well, I don't know if all that happened." So,
yeah, you really shouldn't just judge people by appearance. But way before all the, even before Me Too happened, had you said, "Hey, is this guy likely to have assaulted some women?"
Yeah.
You're like, "Yeah, straight up, yeah."
Well, you'd be like, "I don't know." And then he turns around and you see the ponytail, and then you're like, "Okay, yes, definitely."
You see the Tony Robbins stuff?
That he was swearing at people and
Oh, there more to that story?
Yeah, four more women. It's always the way. Four more women came out and said, "Yeah, he forced himself on me." Then there's a video where he was doing one of his dumbass Tony Robbins things for an African-American audience. And just kept using the N-word.
What?
And it's one of those where, like, a white guy thinks he can do it, and he's like, "Look, when someone calls you an N-word, you don't let them get away with it because they're taking, look at you. Look at the hatred in your face right now. N-word. When someone calls you that N-word, but he's saying the word, they are taking your power. You are still a slave." And he's saying it to this guy. And it's, okay.
So what does it mean when
didn't
you
get
say
the memo.
It, man?
I've always hated him.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's got more money than God. Whatever. He's fine. Although maybe his ego is more important now than his money.
Mm. Does it change anything that it was, I think, in the 80s? 80s or not? I mean,
if that were the only thing that happened, I could
probably... I mean, just that one.
Yeah.
And just
I could
that
probably say... Okay, I see the point he's trying to make, but in the grand scheme, it just seems like really on brand.
No,
I think if it were just that in the 80s or 90s, I would be able to be like, obviously it's not ideal, but
yeah.
I think it was a lot more, I think you could get away with it a lot more back then. It was less of a culture of, "Hey, we don't do that. You're not allowed to say that." He would have thought, "Oh, this is within context. This is fine."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him, but knowing him, he probably thought he was crushing it. Like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what needs to happen. Plus, totally he's dressed happens. Like he's in the Let's Get Physical video from Olivia Newton-John.
Sweet.
Hey, sorry if you have a ponytail, if I offended you with the Mario Batali joke.
You walking that one back?
I was just playing.
Hey, there's a ponytail guy I really liked who's a motivational guy, though, and I don't remember his name, but he's the guy they always used to say Batissimo. Remember that guy?
Batissimo?
Yeah. Nobody knows that guy?
He was in commercials and stuff. And,
well, he was more of a workout guy. But.
Oh, that guy?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
The guy who was like on this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
He was awesome.
That guy was awesome.
And his ponytail was really impressive.
Exactly.
It was thick.
Yeah.
Facebook has removed a record 2.2 billion fake accounts from the site. Crazy. They've repeatedly promised to be better at detecting and removing posts that violate its policies. And a lot of these are coming from fake accounts.
Well, the 2020 election is safe now.
I know, yeah. I mean, the show's on Facebook. Tons of people are on Facebook. Every day, there's another negative story about how they're mishandling something or fraud is happening or they're selling your data to a villain.
They're creating their own cryptocurrency.
Facebook is?
Their own Bitcoin.
I definitely want to invest in that after all of this
stuff.
And
Amazon is offering you a $30 gift card if you will allow them to take a 3D scan of your body, which they say is so that they can market to you and say, okay, Rachel, it's not just that you're a size whatever. This is your body. Here's your new clothing line. And if you believe that, I mean, come on.
They also give you $30 if you sign up for the Amazon credit card. Yeah. So it's like, signing up for a new credit card or showing you basically my naked body for my customized Amazon wardrobe. Okay.
How do they do it? Bucks. Do they send you the software with a gift card?
Just send them naked pictures. Remember when Facebook wanted you to send them naked pictures so then they could block anyone from posting your naked pictures? If you participated in that, I feel really sorry for you because those pictures are getting out. If Facebook's history is any indication.
Yeah. That's the equivalent of the guy who says, hey, send me your naked pictures so I can make sure those aren't anywhere else.
Thanks to, I think it was Brendan on Twitter the other day who sent me this map of the United States ranked. The U.S. News and World Report evaluated all 50 U.S. states in healthcare, education, economy, infrastructure, opportunity, fiscal stability, crime, and environment to create a comprehensive ranking of all states. What do you think Missouri is?
Just overall?
Yes.
I'd say...
Scale of 1 to 50.
In the middle of the pack, lower middle, 34.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit below average. So, 30-ish.
Ryan?
20.
It's 28. You guys aren't too far
better
off.
Better than I thought.
And Illinois is 35.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I thought they would be
How's
a lot
it not
worse
50?
Off. I don't know. You take all of those qualifiers into account. There we do that. This will be my final story here. 7 people died on Mount Everest this week.
I was going to bring this up.
They're saying that it's completely overcrowded.
Yes.
So I guess you could I just go try to climb it if I had enough money?
Yes.
There's no requirements?
100%.
My goodness. 100%.
If you had enough money, could you hire somebody to just put you in a sled and take you up the mountain?
I guess so.
That's the big criticism by real climbers is that it's become a joke. And that it's basically just a conveyor belt, and we're just dragging.
Except there's still people dying.
Yeah, we're dragging rich people up there, but it's still 29,000 feet.
And there's still people dying.
And what is happening is, like, I read this article. What's happening is, the very, very top, within probably a couple hundred feet of the summit, is Hillary Step, and it's one of the more technical, difficult, straight up places. And there's a log jam. Because all of these rich a-hole orthodontists that want to go climb Everest and pay a couple hundred thousand get there, they're like, and they can't climb it. And so you're just stuck there. And so if the weather turns at all, or if you get hypoxia, or if you just are exhausted, that's what happened to several of these. They just laid down and died.
12-hour queue is what I heard because of the log jam at the top.
Yeah.
So you get there to that point about 200 feet below the summit. And you're stuck there because of all the people in front of you, and it's a 12-hour wait till you can finally make your way up.
I was
that's part of the problem.
That's a waste of oxygen at that point.
Yeah,
you know,
I was obsessed with Everest. I have so many books on it and studied it, and like when you get up there, especially above like Camp 2 or 3, every breath, every step is just misery. that even if you're not really suffering from altitude sickness, it's just every step is the equivalent of like bench pressing 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, like, we've all been really tired and someone is just like dicking something for us and you just want to kill them. Can you imagine being there and just the worst you've ever felt in your life and you're just behind a bunch of Japanese businessmen trying to
wait,
just waiting.
Yep.
Since you know a lot about Everest, are there spots like that spot, Hillary's, whatever that it was, that you camp there? Is there like a little industry there? Like, can you stay overnight? So, are there little hotel things?
No, like Kathmandu is probably the closest. And then you have base camp, which is, you know, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people and tents and the whole bit. And that's somewhere around, I'll get this wrong, so don't crush me, Everest buffs, but somewhere around, you know, 20,000 feet. And then there's base camp, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you make your final ascent. And there's only like 2 weeks that you can do it. And but then the weather can change at any time. All sorts of things can happen. My take on it, what I wanted to ask you guys is, because most of these people who do this have families. Now, I ride a motorcycle. That's the most dangerous thing I do. I acknowledge that it's dangerous. I have friends who said, I will never ride a motorcycle until my kids are out of high school. I choose to. I don't ride that much, but I could die any day I go out. But to me, like, I don't think I could do it. And I was just listening to some guy be interviewed. His 52-year-old dad died, and he's like, hey, he died doing what he loved. He died the way he wanted to. Mm. To me, it just sounds like such crap.
But is the danger of death that high? Like, statistically, there are so many people climbing it, apparently, that you can't get up the mountain. So are 7 people dying really statistically significant, or is it just thousands and thousands
like
of people?
200 people got certified to do it this year.
Oh, so it is significant. Because I was comparing it to, well, wouldn't the statistics be the same as driving a car or
some
something?
Years are worse than others. But I just don't know if I could justify it in my own mind. And yeah, it's hypocritical because riding the motorcycle, but even if it was my passion, I don't know that I could do that. Or do you feel sorry for people? Like, do you feel badly for people that...
I don't feel badly. I mean, I feel badly anytime someone loses their life, but you know the risks whenever you do it.
Okay,
so
you're not... I'm going to change that for you. Screenshotted this story today. Get there. Nude selfie. 2 Texas men die trying to jump car over open drawbridge. So witnesses see these 2 guys lift the gate. Pull up, go to the top of the drawbridge, back up, take off, miss it, and die instantly.
Yeah.
Now,
were they drunk?
That's someone's son.
Right.
Maybe someone's father or brother. I have trouble having 1 ounce of sympathy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean.
No.
Yeah.
Neither does Rachel. You changed your mind, just like you said you were going to.
I mean, I'm sad that they died, but I'm not like, you
are
poor
you really,
thing,
though?
You poor victim. No, I don't feel that way.
I'm not
happy they died, but
is anybody else eating these fries?
I mean, no more now, Marvin.
Oh, God.
They're so good.
They're so good.
Can't put them down.
I haven't had fries in months. You have no idea what I'm going through over here.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
430 DGS. Coming up next, we have a hypnotist live. Should be fun.
Yeah.
Dave Murray joins us now. Hey, Dave.
Hi there.
Dave, you were prominently featured last night at DGS 5 live show.
Oh, great.
Yes.
There was a lot
of another
Dave.
Telephone.
A lot of Dave Murray talk.
Good, I hope.
At one point, you know.
There was only one giant photo of you up that looked like the Obama Hope photo. It's kind of the focus of the night, but there's just that one photo.
So, Dave, is it a typical Memorial Day kind of cloudy, rainy weekend?
It's not, it's not a washout weekend by any means, but it's a springtime, summertime weekend. Temperatures will be above average. Humidity will be up, and there's going to be some thunderstorms really scattered, maybe even isolated around Saturday afternoon. I don't think it's anything widespread. The best chance for rain is going to be Sunday morning. Most folks should see some rain and thunderstorms around, and most of it should be out of the picture by about midday on Sunday. Sunday afternoon looks okay, and Monday from start to finish looks okay.
Much sunshine, much sunshine for the weekend?
Saturday, a fair amount of sunshine. Yeah, not much on Sunday. Saturday, a lot of sunshine. Sunday, not much. Monday, a fair amount of sunshine.
Okay.
What about for our listeners that might be going to the Lake of the Ozarks?
Same kind
of
thing.
About the same?
Yeah, it's about the same. The timing may be just a little bit different, but not by much.
Gotcha. I don't know who that would be.
Great forecast yesterday, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and thanks for everybody checking out my Facebook page. We're pushing 30,000 hits on it so far. And I know you guys have it on your Facebook page, too.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to go check that out because I was doing sound check with the band while
we did
that.
You said you would drop everything.
Mm-hmm. I lied. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Grace and I were driving to the theater talking about everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's so excited. And I literally said, I looked at the clock and I was like, oh. Summer forecast is coming on. I want to listen to this.
You need to shut up.
Quiet. And no talking for the next 10 minutes. And
best time to talk to your kids is in the car.
Mm-hmm. Unless
they're
the trapped. Summer forecast is on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
They got to shut up. Yep.
No, it seems like it's going to be a pretty pleasant summer from what Dave says.
Yes. Yeah. A little bit on the wet side, but that's okay. That will help keep temperatures down.
Nice. Good. Like it.
I don't like
speaking
rain.
Of, we're talking about Mario Batali and Robbins and all these jerks. Did you hear Armstrong, Lance Armstrong?
What's his problem?
Oh, he's a classic.
He came out and said, I admit that what I did was wrong, but I would do it all over again exactly the same way.
No kidding.
Yes.
Can you remind me what he did?
He cheated and doped and steroids.
Oh, he's talking about, in his sports career.
Yes. Every way you can cheat, he cheated. Cheated his teammates, cheated his competitors.
He said he would do it again?
Said I would do it all exactly the same way. Even if that's what you think, why do you say that out loud?
Right.
Part of me.
He just doesn't, you know, some people just don't mind being the bad guy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he just seems to not mind that people hate him because he doesn't try. His interviews, some of his tweets that he's posted over the years, like the one guy that like sent him like a bunch of hate. He sent him a picture of him like sprawled out on his massive couch with all his awards behind him. Like, yeah, sucks, right? I'm what a jerk. Look at my life, like. You don't do that if you care about your public perception.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't.
Right. He does. But so many people do. Even people who do bad things usually try to explain themselves or try to paint themselves as a good person.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to try to do that.
When it comes to villains, there are those that are sort of like the sexy devil may care, like, hey, I live my life and that's what I do. And then there are those who are like, you know what, I feel terrible for this and I'm going to change my life, and they do. And then there are people who are just so dislikable. There's nothing like Darth Vader-ish about Armstrong.
Like when Tom Brady said he was going to eat that strawberry,
it was like
unforgivable.
Same thing.
Oh, did he eat it though?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Oh, you know who took more crap than him?
Who?
Was whoever this brainiac, Jeopardy James, came out, because people like that are rarely funny. And so he came out and sent a tweet that said something like, just make sure that the PSI, you know, Deflategate, and made a reference to that and got crushed on social media.
He made a...
For trying to be
he
funny.
He tried to make a joke about the PSI and the strawberry?
Yes.
Okay, well, he deserved it.
Yes.
Look, I don't begrudge that guy. We talked the other day how people were saying on the Today Show that he's just a jerk and he wins so much money. I don't care. But yeah, don't try to be funny. Just go win Jeopardy.
Stay in your lane.
That's true. He tries occasionally on the show to be funny, and it usually gets tongue-tied, and Alex looks at him like, huh?
And isn't it just the arc of, you know, human existence that the ratings are great and they're watching because, oh my God, he just keeps winning. Woo, keep going.
It's fascinating to watch.
And now everyone's watching, just waiting for him to lose.
Yeah.
Just waiting for someone to knock him off.
Dave, are you an everyday Jeopardy watcher?
I have become an everyday Jeopardy watcher, though it goes all the way back to when I was in junior high, and I had the opportunity to be able to run home because we live fairly close to the school and watch it with my mom, because that's when it was on, like at lunchtime.
Oh, cool.
With our Art Fleming, and then back to school. And then
awesome.
I kind of grew away from it when you become an adult, but now that I'm retired.
He used to do it.
Yeah, that's cool, Dave.
I love Jeopardy, so I think it's awesome.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for listening to the forecast, too.
A couple of
way.
My friends and I, we went through a period of time where we would go home from school. It would start, I think, at 4:30.
You guys were dorks.
And, yeah, we would sit down and play.
Okay, monkey
And we
mask.
Would try to play hey, and answer the questions before the... We would like keep our own score and try to beat each other and the people playing.
Then you'd go practice your magic tricks.
We did that for a while.
Yeah. You know, after hearing your stand up last night, Dave, I don't need your judgment about being a dork.
And then we went rollerblading.
I just think it was so fun staying up late to watch Murder, She Wrote with my mom.
It is fun to do that stuff.
Murder, She Wrote was it on at nighttime.
I mean, staying up in the middle of the day.
I aspire to be an everyday Jeopardy watcher. I DVR it, but I always fall behind. But I like to play it on Alexa. You can play like that day's questions. It's really
man, cool. I'm feeling better and better.
It's I had trivia. To mention the story because I saw
I'm
this.
I'm not
Dave.
Even that dorky.
All right, I was trying to connect with you, but fine.
I think you're going to be fascinated with this.
All right.
Oldest DNA in America has been traced back to one man in Montana. Did you see
that.
This?
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I thought it was cool is because they said discovering someone whose family line can be traced back 55 generations is like finding Bigfoot for genetics.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
55 generations, they say his family line traces back in North America 17,000 years.
Wow.
How do they find that guy? Like, how are they testing just random people and they just happen to stumble upon
him? It's going to be a really good Jeopardy question someday.
Also, I would have thought that this happened all the time, but evidently for the first time ever, science has documented a chimpanzee taking a turtle and smashing it on a rock and eating the guts. And it's like, you know, Nobel Peace Prize time. Like,
really?
Now it's really, this is really Planet of the Apes, which I would have thought you give a monkey a turtle and they smash it on a rock and eat
yeah,
it.
Yeah, why is every that time? So?
But for millennia, they've never figured out, oh, there's something soft and gooey in there. I think I'll crash it on a rock. But now the first monkey has done it. I think we should kill this monkey. I mean,
that
let's
monkey's
let's,
name
let's
is Caesar.
Let's not take any chances. Right?
Did that monkey learn it by watching you?
I mean, like
watching
once,
you, Dad.
Once another primate starts developing, we should snuff that.
Watching you.
Yeah, just ignore it.
I don't yeah.
At some point when he says like did the monkey learn it watching you and then you go
look at him dying laughing over there. Losing it.
You guys are jerks.
We're not. We're pointing out what's happening.
I just flashed back to that ad. I learned it from watching you, Dad.
What? No old, one knows what you're talking
the
about.
Old, the old drug PSA.
Just go to break. Just go to break.
The old drug PSA.
I'm
going
to get in my car, drive to South Rex Santa, and watch Jeopardy with my mom.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Pardon me. Happy Friday. We're all tired from DGS Live last night. Live in studio, we have Randy Reese, who is a certified hypnotherapist from modernmedicalhypnosis.com. How are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
So let's just softball 101. Tell us about hypnosis and the difference between the Vegas, going to make you quack like a duck, and the therapeutic stuff that you guys do.
Well, just like you do a lot of different physician ads live and stuff. Hypnosis can be applied in many different ways also. The stage shows are real. People do that stuff. I've had that training. I don't normally use it. I focus more on the medical aspect of the hypnosis just to help people out. You know, I have done a few of the shows, but some of the things I've done is help people pre-op, prepare for surgery. they used less anesthesia and they healed faster and better. Had fantastic results with that. Actually had a tumor in a woman's abdomen disappear. They said it wasn't fast growing, so we did a session and they did a repeat CT scan in 6 months and it was gone completely.
So this obviously takes years and years and years to understand and to be trained, but in a nutshell, what is hypnosis? Just very basic 101, what's going on in the brain?
Basically, you bypass the critical factor, the conscious mind, and you go into the subconscious mind, which is where everything is controlled. If you think of it as a two-layer program on a computer, one running over the other,
yeah,
the conscious is what argues with us and says, should we do this, shouldn't we do this? The subconscious mind is either yes or no.
Yeah, I've been struggling with this. I read a ton of books, and I'm rereading a book called The Untethered Soul for the third time, and it talks a lot about the difference between it's all about your consciousness.
Right.
And there's this chattery voice that's constantly talking, like, oh, Randy's wearing a blue shirt and Wiggins, I think he's gay. And, you know, and then, like, way back here is, like, who you are.
Right.
And that's so hard to hold in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so hard, like, well, of course I'm my thoughts. If I'm not my thoughts, then who am I?
Exactly. One of the guys that I study his research and materials has said, you know, we talk about this thing like we know what's going on with it, but we really don't. Because if you take somebody that's dead and cut their brain open, where's the unconscious?
Right.
Where's the conscious?
It's a lot like I have friends who are anesthesiologists who say, look, I can put you to sleep.
Right.
I know how much medicine it takes, mm-hmm. but I can't tell you how it works.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really truly understand all these thousands of levels of consciousness and unconsciousness.
Right. And surprisingly, with my background in pharmacy, it's amazing how many medicines we guess at
mm-hmm.
and we think they work
mm-hmm.
one way. And then years later, having been in it for 30 plus years,
yeah.
we figure out, oh, geez, there's a whole other system we didn't know about.
So I've always been fascinated by hypnosis. If I come to your office
mm-hmm.
and I want to be hypnotized,
right.
but I'm nervous about it, mm-hmm. and the whole time you're trying to hypnotize me, I'm thinking, I'm not hypnotized yet, this isn't working, which is what I would do
uh-huh.
with my active mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty common, and you know how to get past that?
It's very common, and that's part of the pre-talk or the, you know, 15, 20 minutes before we actually do the session that mm-hmm. we explain that. What you're kind of talking about, I would call the smart man syndrome. You want to be into
Here we
it.
Go.
Yeah. You want to be into it, but you can't participate in the process, observe what's going on separately, and try being remembering
Makes
everything
sense.
That I've said.
Yeah.
You're trying to play three roles. And the best thing that I've heard is, you know, they say the Bible says, be as a child, be playful, have fun with it. And when you do that, that's when you get the best results.
So I go to therapy once a week, 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I would love a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a shortcut?
It can be. Yeah, we can deal with a lot of things in an hour that would take several sessions of regular talk therapy. Mm-hmm. I was looking up PTSD today just to see, because that's one of my passions. I'd like to work with the veterans and that mm-hmm. type of thing. I've just got my certification in PTSD treatment and such. And the normal average, if you can call an average, is 8 to 15 sessions of talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole basis on the hypnosis side, where we think the talk therapy is going the wrong direction, is making you relive that issue. Our episode of
right.
that trauma.
Which is what I've always read. You have to re-experience it in a different way.
No. You don't need to experience it in a different way, because that just drives it deeper into the subconscious mind. And it gets basically short, without using all the technical jargon, it gets yeah. stuck in the subconscious in the fight or flight mode.
Can you do something, pardon me, in the future that you say, gosh, it could be anything. It could be a romantic relationship or a job or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to move forward. I'm tired of this thing,
mm-hmm.
but I just can't let go of it.
Yeah.
Can you help people where when they wake up or they get up the next day, they're like, I don't know, I'm just not that concerned anymore about that.
Absolutely.
Can you do it for me now? I'm kidding.
Yes. Yeah. We'll turn off the mics. Give me 3 minutes to get you in hypnosis, and we can do all kinds of fun things.
Wow. Do you see people to help with sleep issues?
Sleep issues, smoking, weight loss, 100 different things.
Okay.
Dental appointments, fears and phobias are big. I worked with one woman that had a wisdom tooth cut out at one job, and she missed the half day that day of work, and the next day she called in because her face was all swollen up. So we fast forward 2 or 3 years, we're at a different place working together, and she has to have 2 wisdom teeth taken out. Mm-hmm. So she goes and gets those done, comes back, and works the rest of that day. And I asked her, I said, you know, everything okay? And she said, well, one side's bleeding just a little bit. So we did a little 5-minute session and stopped the bleeding, and she went home and came back the next day without a bit of swelling.
Wow, that's crazy.
This is a strange question, but it seems strange to me that bypassing the conscious mind would be a good thing. That seems like a necessary filter. Why is it good to bypass the conscious mind?
Because it will stop you from doing the things that you need to do to get better. It can argue you out of the right path to take. That's getting back into as if the mind was a computer program. The subconscious doesn't always speak the same language that the conscious does. So if you've had an experience that the conscious didn't like, but it was beneficial to the subconscious, they're going to interpret it 2 different ways. So the conscious mind may stop you from doing it while the subconscious goes, oh, cool, that'd be nice to do.
So we got in contact because Dave had been talking about how traumatized he was by seeing The Exorcist years ago.
Right.
And you said, I could help him with that. So would you, yep. Would it remove the memory, or would it make him have more positive feelings towards the memory?
What do you want it to do?
Oh, I was exaggerating that, but let's use that as an example.
Yeah.
But you're saying you could do either or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We can, with PTSD, a lot of it isn't necessarily removing the memory. It's
reframing?
Reframing and moving it to a different part of the brain where you would see it actually as a distant memory, and it takes the emotional sting out of it.
Okay, that's interesting because I do believe in the old adage that time heals all wounds. We've all been through it.
Sure.
I mean, I can go back to relationships I had 30 years ago that I thought, I'll never be over this person.
Right.
This is my life now, is just being in gut-wrenching pain. And now you can barely remember their name.
Right.
So it's sort of an artificial way to do that, like put a little artificial time in between.
Speed it up, because the reason that the time heals all wounds is true is because it gives you time to deal with it. Moving it from the amygdala is where the fight or flight stuff is stored. Moving it from there to the neocortex, or the newer part of the brain, to let it process on out as a normal memory. Really, phobias and traumas are the perfect learning experience, because you experience it once and you've learned your lesson from it. You don't want any more of that. So that, by definition, is the perfect learning experience. It's not always positive, but it happens. Mm-hmm. And what we can do with hypnosis is move you forward.
I have a really bad habit of, I call it pushing on the bruise, where if something hurts emotionally, I just, I do willfully just keep pushing it into my mind just to feel the pain, not as in a masochistic way, but more in like an OCD way.
Right.
Like if I had a little sharp thing and I just kept kind of scratching my finger with it, like that hurts, but I can't stop doing it for some reason. Mm-hmm. I do that emotionally.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys can help to stave?
Absolutely.
I never used the word stave like that.
Yeah.
Felt weird.
Well done.
Can you keep me from saying things like stave?
It sounded like you meant to say Steve, and you just said it wrong.
So is there anyone who just, nope, I can't put you under, can't do it?
Yes. If you're totally against working with me for whatever reason.
So you couldn't just make someone, you're under my power?
No.
Okay.
And basically that group being set aside, 90% of the population can be hypnotized fairly easily.
And I'm guessing, like any other bell curve, there are those who are very easy.
Absolutely.
Mm. Now, when you're under, do you still kind of know what's going on, or would you wake up and go, I have no memory of what just happened?
Again, whichever way you want it to be.
Okay.
A lot of times I'll tell people they remember everything, And they'll say, well, I wasn't really sure I was hypnotized or not because I heard every word you said. And it's like, well, good. We communicated. I can't do this telepathically yet.
Yeah.
You know,
really interesting. So how do people, I'm sure a lot of people want to get in touch with you. How do people get in touch with you?
My email is randy@modernmedicalhypnosis.com. And my phone number is 636-926-6800.
Very good. Really fascinating. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.